Welcome to another episode of the Telomere Summit, sponsored by the Dr. Summits. I'm Dr. Joseph Raphael, your host for the Telomere Summit, and I'm very pleased to have Paul Barrichiaro on today to speak about the role of molecular hydrogen in health and disease. Paul has lectured across the world over the last 22 years. 12 years ago, he set out to educate the world on the vast benefits of molecular hydrogen. His message is focused on the critical role of molecular hydrogen, H2, to reduce oxidative stress and inflammation. His lectures present causal problem and solutions through scientific studies. He developed the ECHO hydrogen water system, as well as other products to modulate immune and cognitive function. Paul has lectured across the world and has been on national television in the USA, Germany, and Switzerland, including Doug Kaufman's television show, Know the Cause. He was featured in The Truth About Cancer and has been on radio shows and podcasts worldwide. Paul works diligently to educate individuals how to prevent disease and no longer suffer. Paul's greatest joys come from serving others. He is passionate about the prevention of pathologies. He founded Synergy Science Incorporated in 2011 and developed a full line of products focused on detoxification, immune boost, and gut recovery. You can find Paul at 800-337-7017 and at synergyscience.com, synergyscience.com. Welcome, Paul. I'm really pleased to have you on the show to talk about, continue our fascinating conversation that we had last night about the role of hydrogen and specifically hydrogen gas in water in health and disease. Why don't you give us a little bit of an idea about how you got into this and how you found this really pretty miraculous substance?
Yeah, thank you. It was really having to do with my wife. So we've been married almost 28 years, and the first 10 years of our marriage, she was sick and not doing well. And here I was young and newly married, and primarily my focus at the time was individuals with diabetes, and yet my wife was having issues with thyroid, gynecological issues, anemia, just a lot of different issues. And I wanted to help her. That's really what spawned my search.
And you came across hydrogen water.
Well, I came across water at the time, and this was 15, 16 years ago. I came across water that was alkaline water at the time, and people were reporting all kinds of things. And while I never accepted the pH part of the equation, because it just doesn't make any sense, I couldn't deny the fact that my wife was helped rapidly. And within 6 months, her menstrual cycle was normalized. She was no longer in bed a week out of the month. And there were many other things that improved from an anemic perspective and other things. So I couldn't deny the anecdotal evidence, right? At the time, it was anecdotal purely for me. I'm a skeptical guy, and I wanted to understand what are the mechanisms. So I really didn't accept that it was the pH or that was the mechanism of healing. So I really started a deep dive search, and it took me about a year and a half to figure out it's hydrogen gas. Even though everyone else was talking about pH and other things, I really did some research to figure it out and figured out it was hydrogen gas. And that was like an aha moment for me. Then it started to make sense. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can understand.
I should just interject and say that, you know, I've had patients come by my practice over the past 25 years and speak about the wonders of alkaline water. And I just sort of, as you were, I'm a skeptic, and most listeners would be when a patient says something like that, because, you know, high pH is going to get neutralized in your stomach. You don't want a high pH in any case. So, you know, I'm glad you're feeling better, I used to say.
That was about it.
And so when I started talking to you, it's really interesting to find that, and you're going to explain exactly how hydrogen and alkaline water sort of go together in certain ways, or not go together, but how it might be that originally it might work a little bit. Yeah. But it's really fascinating to hear that kind of the physiology behind that.
Yeah, it really was. And you know, there are all these, I put them in the miracle category, because they were talking about all kinds of stuff. And the part that bugs me, as you know, people come and say, oh, it helped this, it helped that. And you're like, well, wait a minute, how did it do that? And I'm not talking about the people taking the water. I'm talking people selling the products. I would say, how does that work? And they would have no idea, or they would make up an answer. And I'd be like, oh, you lost me, right? So yeah. The reality is, I started to do a deep dive. And at that time, I mean, I understand there were no studies that I could find that were really relevant studies. There were reports, there were things that even medical professionals supposedly wrote, but it was all about the microclustering, which we know was proven false in the 80s. And it's all these things that were just not scientifically sound. And so I, of course, had 8 companies at the time, and the last thing on earth I needed to be doing was spending most of my days doing this, but I did, because it was for my wife, and I really wanted to understand. Well, I was looking at everything that I could get my hand on, and I had an employee at the time that worked with me that had a PhD in water chemistry from Emory, and I said, you know, will you help me? I'm doing this search right now to figure out what the mechanism could possibly be with this water, because I don't think it's pH, but that's what everyone's saying. Can you look at these studies? And I printed him out a copy of all of them and said, can you look and see if you can find something? I'm going to look, you look. Well, he's the one that initially found, buried in one of the studies, in the middle was a graph. And on that graph that showed what was really going on, there was just these two initials, DH. And I was, and he found that and said, hey, I think I found, but I don't know, but I think I found the mechanism. And he gave it to me and showed me. And I said, DH, what's that? And he said, dissolved hydrogen. And I thought, whoa. And it just hit me. It's one of those times, you know, in life where you hear something and it just kind of hits you and you're like, oh, that's right. That's got to be it, right? You just kind of instinctively feel. And he goes, do you want me to keep doing it? Or, you know, I got several projects you have me on. No. I got it from here. That's awesome. Let me go do some more research. And man, when I had that piece of the puzzle, then I found all kinds of things that you could find from 100 years ago and beyond into the 1700s, believe it or not. I started finding stuff on hydrogen being an antioxidant. And so it was pretty amazing for me. And that started my journey, really.
So there weren't very, very many studies, I mean, besides the past, the old ones, but I was amazed when I took a look that there are quite a few studies now from you know, reputable researchers, good journals in PubMed, looking at the effect of dissolved hydrogen in water on various aspects of health. And we'll get to the effect it has on telomere length, which is really kind of interesting as well. But tell us a little bit about exactly how that works and what you know, we talked about it being a signaling molecule and an antioxidant.
Yeah. And really, I would say where the shift occurred is in 2009, Nature published what I call the foundational study. And the reason I call it the foundational, because it woke everybody up. And they were like, well, if this is true, then what else is true? And since 2009, you have 1,120 studies right now. And we have a database assembled at hydrogenstudies.com, just hydrogenstudies.com. And you can go and research what subject, the outcome, country, years, anything. You can parse the data however you want. But bottom line, I started looking, and from 2009, when Nature published that hydrogen was a selective antioxidant, and what they were talking about is that it only reaches and reacts with ROS, or reactive oxygen species. And they particularly mention hydroxyl radicals, which we all know is the most cytotoxic oxygen radical. So this woke everybody up and said, well, hold on a minute. If hydrogen is selective and doesn't react with any with those radicals that have a physiological role, they only react with those that are damaging. Well, that's huge, right? That's a big deal, because we know antioxidants can be harmful because you end up with a prooxidant at the end. So having a selective antioxidant was huge. And it has stemmed from that, from 2009. You just have, like I said, thousands of studies that have occurred in 12 years since then. And so that, in my opinion, is what kind of woke everyone up. to wanting to study. And the vast majority of these studies are not paid for. They're simply hospitals, scientists, graduate students, you know, all across the world. A majority of them now are in China, and then Japan, Korea has come in there, and there's some from the US, but unfortunately we're the least of all the countries. But there's some good studies that are coming out of the US as well. But the reality is it's being studied purely for medicine, and the results are amazing. Out of 1120, there's not one single contraindication. There's not one single negative. There's not one single group of people that you would not want to use hydrogen water, from infants on up to geriatric. It doesn't matter. There's no condition that wouldn't be appropriate to use hydrogen. So it's really amazing. And when we look at it, it should make sense to us, because at the end of the day, your body is designed to produce hydrogen in the gut when you have gut function that's appropriate. That's the big if. But if your gut or gastrointestinal tract is functioning properly and you have the right balance of bacteria, then there's these amazing little microbes called hydrogen trophs, and those hydrogen trophs convert short chain, medium chain fatty acids and fiber rich foods into hydrogen gas. And the beautiful part of this story, I find it beautiful at least, is that the hydrogen trophs themselves utilize 30% of the hydrogen as their energy source. And then the other 70% goes into the body to regulate pathways, antioxidant functions, ghrelin secretions, you know, what's called gastric ghrelin that goes to the brain, which we could spend a year talking about all that ghrelin regulates, from, you know, Krebs cycles to sleep to you name it, you know, neurologic protection, whatever. Plasticity of the brain, normalization, so many different neuroprotective benefits. But it's really critical. And at the end of the day, hydrogen is critical to life. And when we look at the body, it's carbon hydrogen chains. And when we look at something even as simple as stomach acid, right, it's HCl. So it's hydrogen as a part of that. So I have just found it beautiful in the last 15, 16 years studying hydrogen and coming to understand every aspect of the body that it affects. And it really doesn't do a lot of heavy lifting. The interesting thing about hydrogen is it doesn't do the work. It's a modulator. So it's the second messengers that are doing everything. When we look at neurologic, it's not hydrogen, it's not striatial hydrogen going to the brain, it's gastric ghrelin, right? So there's an increased expression of gastric ghrelin. There's no striatial hydrogen in the brain, but hydrogen said, get up there. You're supposed to be up there working. So it's very, very interesting when we look at all this.
So just for our listeners, we're talking about ghrelin, you're talking about G-H-R-E-L-I-N.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Peptide that is released by the stomach, called gastric ghrelin.
That's right.
Well known for growth hormone secretion, but it does a whole host of other things that I wasn't necessarily all that aware of either.
Right.
And then also for clarification, hydrogen is a selective antioxidant, only with hydroxyl radicals. What are the byproducts when it neutralizes a hydroxyl radical?
So interesting. Okay, great question. We think of antioxidant as an electron donor, but that's not what hydrogen is. Hydrogen completes. So the interesting thing in that study is when they put hydroxyl radicals, which is OH, into a petri dish and you add hydrogen, what do you end up with? Water. So when you add a H to, if you take two hydroxyl radicals and you add one H2 molecule, you end up with two water molecules. That does happen. And that was what freaked everybody out. But later, and the hypothesis is, and I would say that it hasn't been proven yet, but it's most likely catalase upregulation that hydrogen accomplishes that causes hydroxyl radicals to not really function in the first place. And there's also a big benefit that comes in mitochondrial function in the respiratory chain with hydrogen as well, so that it functions. And so you really, you know, don't have all those oxygen radicals, because a lot of the oxygen radicals are coming from sugar loading and carb loading and people that are eating. So they have energy because they don't produce enough ATP. It's kind of like the chicken or the egg.
Right.
But the reality is when hydrogen comes in and modulate these pathways and we have sufficient energy, all of a sudden your body's not demanding sugar and carbs and other things. And so you can actually produce ATP sufficient for your body weight and activity level. And so it's really brings you back to nature, brings you back to what you should be doing naturally, really.
That's fascinating. And the other part that's fascinating for me is putting together, you know, all the things that we've been sort of focused on lately, that the gut biome, mm-hmm. the microbiome, and how when that's doing what it's supposed to do, it's getting enough fiber, the hydrogen trophs are in there making the hydrogen gas, things are working well. But obviously in our current overly processed food society, people aren't doing that. And so adding hydrogen in a way in which you're going to talk about in just a little bit kind of brings the whole thing together with the microbiome and how it affects the brain and everything else and inflammation. So yeah. I found that to be pretty interesting as well, that this stuff is all sort of really coming together in a unified way. But tell us a little bit more about how it's used therapeutically the whole sort of nuts and bolts of getting hydrogen gas into you.
Yeah. All right. So obviously if we had our terrain and biome of our gut properly established with anaerobic microflora and the electrical potential of the tissue is proper around -300, -400 millivolts of electrical potential, you wouldn't need what I've provided. You wouldn't need hydrogen because you'd be producing roughly 10 to 12 liters of hydrogen gas per day. That's typically what the gut does when you have your normal diet or an appropriate diet. You could produce 10 to 12 liters of hydrogen a day. And obviously this is flatulence, right? We know that methane, hydrogen, sulfur, what have you. But because there's such widespread gut dysfunction, maybe I'm crazy, but I think it's around 97% of the population have some level of gut dysfunction based on environmental effects. So I would say that that's how you should be getting hydrogen. So we know that's not occurring, or there wouldn't be oxidative stress and inflammation, and there wouldn't be such a rise in disease models and blah, blah, blah. So let's go back to how we can supplement with hydrogen gas. There are two main mechanisms. Now, water is the most effective method of administration. And the reason being is because you're putting it in the gut, which is where the body should be producing it, versus inhalation, for example, where you're breathing it in. But let's talk about the water. The water not only hydrates you, which is a great new concept we're trying, being properly hydrated, right? And not having chronic dehydration. Right. But you know, after we hydrate someone, which is great, we can get the hydrogen gas into the gut where it's supposed to be, so that we do produce ghrelin secretions in the gut where it should be. And hydrogen then is going, you know, into the stomach through the pineal, right? And right at the part into the duodenum and into the small intestine, which is where we would want to have hydrogen. In other words, we don't want to be bringing it in through our lungs. We would never be getting hydrogen gas into our nose or mouth and into our lungs. That would never be where you would naturally be getting hydrogen gas. We would always have hydrogen gas produced in the intestinal tract. So by drinking the water, and it passes through the stomach, obviously, into the duodenum and then into the small intestine, that's where we want for it to be. So it kind of follows nature's way better. And at that point, you're absorbing hydrogen through the intestinal tract, and it's modulating all the normal pathways it would modulate. Now, you get all the benefits with water as you would inhalation, and it's far more convenient. It is a lot easier to grab a 16-ounce bottle of water with hydrogen gas in it and drink it than it is to sit for 30 to 45 minutes or more and breathe. Right. Now,
but there have been studies where people do that, and it's used therapeutically, in other countries.
Oh, it is therapeutic, and we are actually coming out with inhalation devices. We're coming out with a personal device, and we're coming out with a clinical device that can go into clinics for those that want to bill, obviously, for treatment. And that's fine. It's big in China. That's why there's so many hydrogen studies in China, is because they are all about inhalation there in that country. And so there are benefits. But there's also studies on hyperbaric hydrogen. Now, there's no one producing hyperbaric chambers, but you can retrofit them and you can actually have hyperbaric. So there are cancer studies with hyperbaric hydrogen. I don't recommend you do it.
It might blow up.
Yeah, I don't recommend it, but I honestly have found that water is the most effective method of administration and the easiest and least lifestyle affecting. In other words, they can add it to their lifestyle with very, very, very simple adjustments because you're already supposed to be drinking water. So that's really the mechanism that has been the most effective. And most of the studies are water related, not inhalation or definitely not hyperbaric, but there's definitely clinical benefits for inhaling hydrogen for lung and for blood. That's pretty much where you're going to end up. So with COVID, China published that they were using inhalation for COVID treatments in China because obviously they're keeping inflammation in the lungs down. And it's also cytokine storm. You want to reduce them greatly in the body. And so hydrogen plays an amazing role with cytokine storm. So all of the different interleukins and other things that are going on, you modulate them nicely with hydrogen. And so we do know that hydrogen is a reducer, right? It's very much a reducer. So that's what it does. But water is the easiest, most practical, least expensive for patients to actually just get a machine in their home that they can be drinking on a daily basis and have the benefits.
Yeah, and it's the most physiologic sort of in the way in which you explain it, which brings me back to just another thought that I had, and maybe you can answer it. For people that focus on fixing the gut, you talked about hydrogen trophs. Those are the anaerobic bacteria. Is there a specific species like bifidus bacterium, or do we know, whether when someone fixes the gut and increases those, that perhaps they're improving hydrogen production, hydrogen gas production, and that's why you're seeing the benefit?
Yes, for sure. So when we change the terrain, and in other words, and how do we change it is through electrical potential, getting that tissue itself to a negative 300, negative 400 millivolts will selectively stimulate anaerobic microflora. So this is the fastest way I have found to rehab the gut or to modulate the bacteria in the gut is to change the electrical potential of the gut. And so that may be difficult. You know, you could try fermented foods, you could do all these things, but let's be honest, that's gonna take a long time. You know, fermented foods aren't gonna vastly change the electrical potential of the gut. So when I developed the machine to not only dissolve hydrogen gas into the water, I also had it where it is the electrical potential of the water itself is a negative 300, negative 400 millivolts. So that when that goes into the gastrointestinal tract, it's absorbed into the tissue. And that property, that electrical property, is then transferred into the gut. And I can tell you, we haven't done any big studies, but I've done some small little pilot clinicals, you could call them, where you take individuals that have gut issues, and maybe they're using an antibiotic regime to keep inflammation down so they can be in the workforce and not have so many issues. And you simply start giving them water and ask them, even though they're taking the antibiotics still, you ask them, when do you start to feel pain? Because it's obviously going to let you know that inflammation is coming back and you're outpacing the antibiotics' ability to keep inflammation down. And it's typically within an hour to 3 hours is what they would call and go, oh, I'm feeling pain. And that's pretty good. It's a good thing to see that hydrogen or the electrical potential can actually change the terrain and the biome faster than the antibiotic is changing it negatively or the other direction. So I think we need to do more study. Obviously, we need to look at much larger groups and what have you. But at least I wanted to prove this study I had read from Russia where it talks about the fact that you can modulate the gut through electrical potential. And I had read that years ago. And so I did the little pilot years ago. And it for me, it was sufficient to support the study that I had already read. And so I thought it was great.
That's interesting. Yeah, there should be more studies. I mean, I can think of a lot of integrated practitioners out there that are listening that work on the gut and you know, they work hard on it. And if there's something they can change it more quickly, that'd be really a boon. There are some studies and that relate hydrogen gas treatment with telomere length. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, there's four studies that I have found that are pretty good that talk about hydrogen, the relationship of hydrogen and telomerase or telomere length. And it's fascinating to me, as it typically is when I look at data from hydrogen. And the reason I say that is, I think in medicine, we're used to supplements, we're used to either drugs or supplements, and we know this drug is going to do something, and it's typically one direction. It's going to regulate, upregulate something, right? Or it's going to down. But in hydrogen's case, it will regulate up or down whatever is appropriate for the function. And that's what I find so attractive years ago, and I really find attractive today with hydrogen, because it's so natural and it is innate to the body. It literally can upregulate, downregulate, or do nothing if nothing is needed. And that's pretty tough to find in medicine. You know, you even something like vitamin C, you give vitamin C to someone, it's going to do something. It's not going to do nothing if nothing is needed, right? So it's very interesting to see a substance like hydrogen gas that is going to up or down. And what I mean by that, in the couple studies that I saw, one was a group of 70-year-olds where they were looking at anti-aging. They were looking at longevity, of course. And effectively, after 6 months of these individuals drinking what they called hydrogenized water, it's just basically water with hydrogen gas dissolved in it, but in them drinking this for 6 months, there was a 4% increase in telomere length. And so they liked that. They thought it was great, that it obviously it led to anti-aging conversation, what have you. Now, in another study that was done that involved multiple biomarkers, SIRT1, for example, and different other biomarkers and systems that were being affected, they found 148% telomere length increase. Now, obviously, there's a big difference between 4% and 148%. So I would chart that to there's an increase, right? It could be different. It could be a lot. It could be a little. But there definitely is an increase in telomere length. Now, what's interesting to me is that would be a normal cell. So no cancer, no DNA damage, no issues going on. But yet in one of the studies, talking about ovarian cancer and lung cancer, for example, they found that hydrogen administration shortened telomere length, which at first, if you just read the headline, you would go, whoa, that's the wrong direction. But actually, it's the right direction for cancer, because cancer typically will increase telomere length so that those cells will divide and continue to divide, right? And so, you know, typically, whether it's cell senescence or what have you, where you stop the dividing process, in cancers, cancer wants itself to grow and to continue to thrive. And so you increase telomere length, and therefore you divide more and more and more cancer cells. So the fact that hydrogen reduced the telomere length and therefore would reduce the ability of those cells to divide is amazing and very natural. It's what you would want. It's similar to apoptosis. There was another study on colon cancer, and this is a little bit off topic, but there was a study on colon cancer, and they combined it with 5-fluorosil, which is a chemotherapy drug for colon cancer. And what they found is hydrogen had, as the study said, a very strong anti-cancer-like activity in the body, even more anti-cancer than did the 5-fluorosil. But when you combine the 5-fluorosil and hydrogen, it was 100% cancer cell death. Well, that sounds amazing, but I always like to say why. And the why was because hydrogen reactivated or benefited apoptosis. And so the cells were destroying themselves. It wasn't like hydrogen was going in and destroying cells. They were reprogrammed to destroy themselves, which they should in the first place, because they were inappropriately dividing and growing. So it's very interesting. Like I said, hydrogen is so natural. Hydrogen is so innate to the body and should be in the body. It's just fascinating to me when you start looking at it, that it causes things to work the way they should be working already. And it's very fascinating to my mind. But getting back to telomeres and telomerase, it it does affect aging, as we know. It affects dividing, cell dividing, so that it doesn't stop at 50 cycles, right? It really is an amazing thing. And so drinking, all these studies all agreed on one thing, is that drinking water with hydrogen gas in it has a very strong chance of lengthening life or having longevity.
Wow. So that's, you know, it'd be probably, I don't, the studies that I looked at, we didn't get a good idea about what the mechanism was, whether it's, because there's two ways you can keep your telomeres from getting shorter. One is to keep them from getting damaged, certainly by increasing catalase and reducing reactive oxygen species. You'll have a decrease in that. That won't necessarily lengthen them, but if there is a given level, a low level, as some of the listeners will remember from our previous lectures, of telomerase, the enzyme that makes the telomeres longer, in those proliferative cell types like the gut and like the skin and like the lung, and immune system certainly, then you could potentially see some increase in telomere length. The other way would be to actually turn on telomerase, and I don't think those studies have been done yet, which would be, that'd be kind of interesting. But getting back to what you were talking about with cancer, yeah, I mean, right now we have telomerase activation therapies for longevity and degenerative diseases, and we also have in clinical trials a telomerase inhibitor for myelofibrosis. So, a substance that could do both at the same, right, you know, when it's appropriate would be quite good. And so, in terms of the gas, you said hydrogen gas should be in the body. If the gut is normally functioning well, like we talked about earlier, is there a chronic level of hydrogen gas that's typically being produced in a healthy young person with a good microbiome and a good electrical potential? And what I'm getting to is then, if we need to be doing this therapeutically, do you just need to be drinking hydrogen infused water sort of throughout the day?
That's an excellent question. So from a dose perspective, dose dependency, I would say that naturally, let's say we took someone that had a perfectly functioning gut, they, you know, nothing had been done to destroy their gastrointestinal tract or the balance of bacteria in there. And let's say that it was perfection. In some way, we could find someone that was perfection. You know, they live somewhere where they're living off the earth, they're whatever the case is, right? Everything was perfect for them. And again, as I said earlier, they should be producing 10 to 12 liters of hydrogen gas per day. Now, clearly, when you're producing 10 to 12 liters, it's going out the tailpipe. So you are going to have flatulence and it's going out. So what I have found is, in the literature, it is accepted that when you're drinking water, 0.5 parts per million is what's considered therapeutic. Now, it's a little bit misleading, because when we talk about ghrelin secretions or we talk about neuroprotective effects, only 0.1 parts per million of hydrogen needed to be in the water to selectively stimulate ghrelin secretions to go to the brain. So what we're really seeing is that the presence of hydrogen almost in any level in the body begins to signal modulate and begins to give direction. Now, we do see that if you increase, the other things are benefited, like RA, obviously, the more hydrogen we put in, the more joints you're going to affect the fastest. And that's about the only thing I have found that is dose dependent. Everything else, for the most part, is the fact that you have hydrogen in the body. It's great. Now, I will say that most people that you ask, they really start to feel effects. And I'm talking energy boost. I'm talking, you know, they really feel it or go, ooh, I like that, at about one part per million. So even though half a part per million is accepted as a therapeutic concentration and 0.1 parts per million, you know, signals ghrelin secretions, it's one part per million concentration that typically people are like, ooh, I really like that. I feel that, you know, I got an energy boost. And just as a fun side note, there was a study done on caffeine versus hydrogen on sport drinks, and hydrogen won by 10%. Believe it or not, hydrogen increased energy more in individuals than did sport drinks with high caffeine content. by about 10%. Not a huge margin, obviously. But the fact that hydrogen can increase your energy level similarly than a caffeinated drink is pretty huge, period. But there's a lot of things from an energy perspective, from mitochondrial function, from brain function, from the way you feel. So at the end of the day, we do not need to be concerned about how much hydrogen, even though there are a few people out there that try to, you know, say, oh, you need high amounts of hydrogen. We really do not. And I will tell you that it's only in the body, even when you drink it in water, it's only going to be in the body 30 minutes to an hour, and then you're going to exhale the unused hydrogen out. Now, understand the effects can linger for 3 to 5 days because you have signal modulation going on. And so all the pathways that were stimulated are still stimulated, even though hydrogen is not there physically in the body. So what would be the proper protocol? I would say intermittent use is appropriate. You definitely don't want to be drinking constant because the body will almost just say, forget it, I'm not going to pay attention anymore. So you want to mimic the body. And that may be, let's say you're eating 2 meals a day or 3 meals a day that would have something in there that your body would normally convert to hydrogen. I would say that it would make sense or be plausible to then have hydrogen water 2 times a day, 3 times a day. That would be appropriate. Now, you know as well as I do, when people purchase a machine and it's in their office or their home or what have you, that's typically going to be 60% of the water they're drinking. And it's going to be mostly what they do, which is fine. You're modulating yourself all day long. But if you literally just were saying, what's the least amount, I would say a 16-ounce or 900 ml one time a day with at least half a part per million, which of course all the devices that I make, only they make a minimum of 1.5. And that's because we know when you pour it into a glass or something, you may have some loss of gas. So you're still always getting one part per million, even though you may start with 1.5, 1.6, 1.8, which two of our devices do. We do have a new sport bottle coming out in February that'll be around 4 to 5 parts per million. Wow. And that's just going to be for people that want to go crazy. By the way, one of the telomere studies that was there, they did use 2.6 parts per million as a concentration. It didn't show much of a difference. And that's also elucidated in another study, the colon cancer study, where they used naturally occurring hydrogen water from Mount Fuji in Japan. And that's another thing I want everyone to understand is that there are multiple places on Earth where hydrogen water naturally occurs, either from basalt metal reactions or organisms that are also having flatulence. And so you end up with hydrogen gas in water in the rivers in India. You have multiple places in the U.S. You have, like I said, Mount Fuji in Japan. So the cancer study showed a very interesting thing that I think is important to understand. They tested naturally occurring hydrogen water and what they called high content hydrogen water. High content hydrogen water is like what my machines produce. And naturally occurring hydrogen water had 1/8 the amount of hydrogen in it. So this was very good because we would want to ask the question, is there a chartable response in the body to just putting more hydrogen? And at the end of the day, they tested the blood to see how much hydrogen was in the blood after increasing it 8 times more. And it was only a 25% increase in the blood. So we know that just increasing concentration does not translate a linear relationship right to blood saturation. So I think it starts to help us understand that more is not always better, as we know in medicine, but just having hydrogen in the body is what's important on a regular basis.
Very interesting. So how would sort of practically one incorporate hydrogen into their lives? You can get a machine, you have the sports bottle, yep. Physicians can have it in their offices. Yep. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's our biggest desire. I need everyone's help because I think things are going great, right? Because I look back 15 years ago and no one knew about hydrogen, including me. And then I look at the fact that we have 1,120 studies and 120 human studies, you know, double blind placebo control. And I think, woohoo, we're getting somewhere. And then I remember, oh, No one knows about hydrogen. Let's be honest. When we talk to anyone you run across, ask them, have you heard of hydrogen? Nope, never heard of hydrogen water. So I have a huge job ahead from simply in education, and I need every doctor that wants to educate individuals on how to modulate pathways naturally and how to get their gut back and have them implement. And so what that looks like, all they need to do is really get one device. And this will be the same for their patients. You get a device for your family or your office or your home or both, and you then start drinking the water. That's as simple as it is. You don't really need to do anything else. There's almost no maintenance on the machine other than changing the filters that are in there that remove the heavy metals and pesticides and glyphosate and all this stuff. The filtration is important. I think everyone realizes or agrees that filtering water is critical, especially tap water. But all they need to do is connect it. And we have machines that go below counter or on top, same machine. We have machines in the line that are not expensive. It's very affordable. We have everything from a sport bottle that's $149 retail that a doctor could sell in their practice if they wanted to. And when it comes to the machines, they wouldn't need to inventory those. It's a lot easier just to let us ship it. And we even include installation, so the patient doesn't have to worry about hiring a plumber. We handle that all for them. And so really, they get the initial machine, they have it in the office, the staff drinks it and has wonderful benefits. They themselves, the medical professional, drinks it, and then they give it to their patients. And don't be surprised that within an hour, the patients will be saying, whoa, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. Because understand, if they haven't had hydrogen in a while, their body is going to really enjoy that tool that it hasn't had. And they're going to feel and experience things that are very different. The most life-changing I ever had, I had a medical doctor that had tremors. And I was at a trade show at my booth, and he walked up with his hands in his pocket, obviously, because his hands, he doesn't want to be embarrassed, what have you. And so I gave him water. We gave him a little 4-ounce glass, and we gave him another 4-ounce glass. And he came back 10 minutes later, and he looks at his hand, and he goes, look, they're not moving. I'm feeling tingling in my brain. What happened? What happened? And he's looking at his hands, and I said, well, just be prepared. You have ghrelin secretions going to the brain. It's changing your motor neural connection. It's changing a lot. I said, in about an hour, you'll feel that tingling in your feet because it's making its way throughout your system. Sure enough, he came back in an hour. He goes, it's in my feet. You were right. And I said, okay. He goes, what do I do now? I said, tell every patient about this that has an issue because you just were changed. Imagine what's going to happen when you drink that every day. He said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I don't want to come across like this is a miracle event. Please remember, your body is supposed to be producing hydrogen. Your patient's body is supposed to be producing hydrogen on its own so that Paul Barrettero wouldn't have to make a machine that separates water and puts hydrogen gas in there. But the reality is we have so much widespread gut dysfunction that we need to get hydrogen back in the body, and we need to fix the gut. And this is something that you will find one of the most beautiful processes to watch with your patients if you'll implement it. So all you do is get a machine and give the water to your patients or clients. That's all you really need to do. And just let them experience it and then help them facilitate getting that into their life, which we obviously have a program. We also have Synergy Science University. So you're not going to be able to talk about hydrogen the way I do the first time, but we have modules that you go through that help you. And we also have studies 101 where we've taken the most typical pathologies that you're going to come up against with your patients. And you just go into Synergy Science and you watch a 3-minute video on here's Parkinson's, here's this. And basically it's a synopsis. And then you go be the hero and talk to your patient because you just watched a short video on how hydrogen modulates Parkinson's disease. And you can print the study out and you can also watch the video so that you can go. And after 2 or 3 times of Parkinson's, you have it down. You won't need to watch the video again, right? And this is the process we're doing so that we can assist you in the conversation, making sure that we are saying appropriate things. We never want to make inappropriate claims. We never want to promise a patient anything, as you know. We just want to share with them. There is a study. We can't guarantee anything, But this is a study and it did have a positive effect. Maybe it will help you. Maybe it won't. We can't guarantee that, of course, but that's all I really need. The thing I need is for amazing doctors across the world to first get educated and then educate their patients, help them and their patients implement this into their life. And effectively, we will increase immune function across the board. We will increase cognitive function across the board. We will increase a lot of things that people struggle from. If there's three things that 100% of the 1120 studies state, it's that hydrogen reduces oxidative stress and inflammation, changes cognitive function, and pain as far as articulations or joint issues. Those are the things that are 100% supported and absolutely is the oxidative stress and inflammation. And I think as doctors, we know oxidative stress and inflammation is the leading cause of disease. How you get it, there's many ways, but that is the leading cause of disease is oxidative stress and chronic inflammation. That's the problem. It's the problem. So hydrogen can help with that. And that's what it does.
You know, I normally close an interview by asking if there's any further things or points that you want to make, but you pretty much made them all. And I don't know that you need to. You're absolutely interesting and comprehensive look at the role of hydrogen water in health and disease and somewhat in telomeres, because of course telomeres is involved in everything. And it's been a real pleasure having you on, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to my first sip of hydrogen water, which I have not had yet. Gonna get to that.
I can't wait too. I want to, you know, after you do it, call me in about 30 minutes and be like, wow, that's interesting. You know, interesting for people that are athletes, they really find that the recovery times are cut in half and they have much less fatigue. And there is a study on soccer players done where it shows there was no lactate buildup. So what's called exercise induced muscle decline, there was none with hydrogen water. So literally the range of motion markers and the different markers that were used to assess fatigue, there was no fatigue in the hydrogen water, but there was normal reduction of muscle use in the placebo water. So again, we know there's a relationship with lactate. We know there's a relationship with different enzyme actions in the body. We don't know everything yet. I told you this last night. We're learning. I'm learning. I don't know everything. That's for sure. I don't even know a lot. I just have taken 15 years to learn what I do know and to help understand these studies. And I do see a cause and effect, and it's really interesting. And so I'm thankful for you and honored to be here to educate individuals, and hopefully we can help someone, right?
I'm sure we will. Thank you very much again, Paul. We will, we'll meet later today probably, but otherwise, perhaps we'll stop by my office.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.